content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Ready, set, go!
And the truth shall set you free!
Welcome to One Life Radio.
We are indeed going higher, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Jerry, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
There's always a delay. I swear. I'm like, oh my gosh, are we connected? Radio goes fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
Or it seems like it does. Yeah. How many seconds do I have a dead air before the alarms go off? Isn't there like a, it's like 9 seconds or something?
It's a little more than that.
A little more than that?
Yeah.
And then you have the dump button for people that curse on the air.
Which I've already had to use.
Which you've already had to use. It's so funny. So some of the words you can't even spell, like the famous word that begins with S and ends in T, you can't even spell it on the air, and it's a $10,000 fine, right? Or
that's
something
right.
Like that.
But there are other words that you can say if you say them in reference to one thing but not the other.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. It's funny. I was talking with someone yesterday. You know, I have a... When I'm talking with some of my friends from back east, I tend to have a little bit of a potty mouth, even though I don't typically. And when I was raising children...
No.
Yes, I do. I swear. I think it's a New York Italian restaurant business thing. But yeah, so I was talking with someone and I was thinking we should do a show about cursing or swearing and why people do it and how to clean up your act. What do you think?
I was with you until the cleaning up your act thing. Some of those are my favorite words.
I know. Junior used to say the same thing. He loves to curse, you know? And he's from back east, too. He's from New Jersey. And so I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's from being a Bills fan. You know, they're famous for saying the word bull. You know what the S word I can't say. Loud and clear. You can hear it even when during a game if they get a bad call. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever seen it? At a Bills game?
I have seen that on clips.
Yeah, pretty fascinating. So I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to our show today. We have somebody who's very dear to my heart, one of the most intelligent doctors that this planet has ever been graced with. I'm talking about Dr. Thomas E. Levy. He is an MD and a JD. He is a board certified cardiologist and a bar certified attorney. After practicing adult cardiology for 15 years, he began to research the enormous toxicity associated with much dental work, as well as the pronounced ability of properly administered vitamin C to neutralize this toxicity. He has now written 13 books, including Hidden Epidemic and most recently Rapid Virus Recovery, with several addressing the wide-ranging properties of vitamin C in neutralizing all toxins and resolving most infections, as well as its vital role in the effective treatment of heart disease and cancer. I mean, this guy, I just reading that bio should make everyone go, wow, I want to hear what this guy has to say. He was recently inducted into the Orthomolecular Medicine Hall of Fame. Dr. Levy continues to research the impact of orthomolecular application of vitamin C and antioxidants in general on chronic degenerative diseases. His website is peakenergy.com. That's peakenergy.com. And it is always a pleasure to have Dr. Thomas E. Levy with us. How are you doing today, Dr. Levy?
I'm pretty good, Bernadette. I must say, though, I'm going to have to be careful over the next hour so that we don't get any $10,000 fines.
Yes, please.
Yeah, because there is a lot of bull out there in this world, especially when it comes to medicine. And so hope I didn't hurt your ears with that squeaky sound. But
No. And the CRAP we have to endure, it engenders passionate speech as well.
I know. Yeah, if there was any a good time to swear, it would be over the last 2.5 years. There's been a lot to curse about, that's for sure. But it's always great to have you with us. And I thought of you immediately when I recently came across a lawsuit against CVS by some plaintiffs who claim that hydrogen peroxide is not a good way to treat minor cuts and abrasions in spite of companies' alleged representations to the contrary. The suit goes on to say that while hydrogen peroxide was previously believed to be an effective a cleanser of wounds, it is now thought to be better equipped as a non-medical solution that can be used for cleaning cleaning, disinfecting, and removing stains, according to the Cleveland Clinic. So, Dr. Levy, what are your thoughts on this? Is this just a frivolous lawsuit, or is there some truth to it? Should hydrogen peroxide be used to clean wounds like it has been for decades?
It's really beyond frivolous, in my opinion. It's hard to imagine exactly what the true motives of the litigant is in this case. Are they trying to suppress hydrogen peroxide so that you can get some expensive prescription formulations of some type to treat wounds? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, let's flip it around. Again, in my opinion, and I go over the science of hydrogen peroxide in my book, Rapid Revirus Recovery, that you talked about, mm-hmm. is that it's an ideal treatment for a cut or a scratch. Now, the one thing, and they point this out, and I would say there's limited truth to it, but anybody who routinely dresses wounds knows this to be the case, and that is, if you have a small scratch or scrape, your first treatments are with hydrogen peroxide because it effectively sterilizes or knocks down the pathogen count in that wound to a nominal level, and healing can take place. Mm-hmm. Or you have a larger wound where you might use hydrogen peroxide for several days in a row because the first treatment, because of the deep wound, doesn't get all the pathogens out. But once you start forming what's known as granulation tissue, coming together for a nice scab, depending on the size of the wound, then you don't use hydrogen peroxide because it can hurt new cells that are coming in to grow. But obviously, the first thing you need to do in order for that to ever take place is to make sure all the pathogens are gone and there's no ongoing infection residing in the wound.
Mm-hmm. I did it just the other night. My cat, Flower, she's a little crazy. I've had her since she was a week old. And, you know, I'm definitely her mama. I'm mama cat. Anyway, in the middle of the night, she's got this bad habit of, like, biting. And she bit into my hand when I put my hand up over my head. I must have hit her. And so she bit me, and I got up immediately, and because I keep hydrogen peroxide, like I think most Americans do, with a bottle of alcohol right next to it. Not drinking alcohol, rubbing alcohol, right? But, you know, I keep them side by side in my medicine cabinet. And I immediately poured hydrogen peroxide on the little wound, the little bite, and then I washed my hands with soap and water and went back to bed. But that was the first thing that I did, instinctively. And my mother was a nurse.
Well,
yeah.
There's something going on. About a couple months ago, Walmart made an announcement that they were downsizing their in-store inventory because for some reason, I guess the pandemic and lack of money, I don't know, that in-store attendance by buyers was going to be down about 25% to 30%. And they said, don't be alarmed if you start to see empty shelves. Hmm. Well, I thought about that a while. So when I went to the Walmart later on that day, yes, there were a lot of empty shelves. But guess what they had as soon as you walked in the door where they have all the ambush products, all the Halloween candy and this, mm-hmm. that, and the other, so that you have to march through it to get there. They had a huge section of large shelves with precisely those two products.
Wow.
Hydrogen peroxide and rubbing alcohol. And it was roughly over 10 times, probably over 15 times the amount that they usually had in stock in the smaller areas inside the pharmaceutical area where you could find these products. So that certainly tends to make you think, especially since other products at the same time are simultaneously disappearing from the shelves, mm-hmm. That alcohol and hydrogen peroxide are starting to max out. That again goes back to, exactly what is the reason for this class action? Is the use of hydrogen peroxide for wounds bumping out too many other expensive products? That would be my guess, but I don't know.
Well, you know, my mom was a nurse. My grandfather was a doctor, Case Western University in Ohio, Cleveland. And, you know, and we grew up with hydrogen peroxide and a bottle of alcohol in our bathroom. And we had, you know, a couple different bathrooms, a two-story house, lots of kids. But yeah, it was I'm not going to say it was everywhere, but it was part of the first aid kit for sure that every one of us grew up seeing in the bathroom or in the first aid kit. And so I don't understand what's going on. But, you know, what do you think? Do you have anything that you want to share with us today regarding that? What do you think?
Well, the general properties of hydrogen peroxide, I mentioned my book, and I'm wanting to make it clear. I'm not hyping to sell it because I give away the ebook to people that go to my website or end up sending me an email. I'll give them the ebook for free, and they can see the documentation for what I'm going to say, which is hydrogen peroxide occurs naturally inside the body. It's, in fact, one of the most common molecules in your body, right along there with water and oxygen and a few other basic molecules. It's one of the primary basic molecules. It stores oxygen in the body. And depending on when an infection appears, the pH changes and the hydrogen peroxide becomes activated. But outside of those pH changes, it's also one of the most stable molecules there is, which also is not well appreciated because a lot of people call it a reactive oxygen species, indicating that it breaks down rapidly. And that's simply not true. It only breaks down in an infected or hypoxic microenvironment. And when it does get to an area of pathogens, not only does it completely destroy just about all known pathogens, viruses, fungi, bacteria, you name it, protozoa, it leaves behind as its metabolic byproducts, which is always a concern when you use a prescription medicine. You say, what sort of toxic metabolites is this drug going to leave behind? And it's an important question. In the case of hydrogen peroxide, after it finishes doing its job of killing the pathogen, all that's left is water and oxygen. Mm-hmm. So it leaves behind the two most important things you need for damaged tissue healing, which is hydration and oxygenation. It's actually just a divinely inspired therapy, if you will. I mean, Mother Nature was all on top of this and has it down perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, you probably know this. I don't know if you do, but I had a guy, I actually met him at a flotation conference. He started a company called peroxyzen.com because a lot of people don't know that hydrogen peroxide can be very, the process is, includes a lot of chemical processes. And so he discovered how to do it plant-based and he's had an incredible bio. I actually pulled his old, outline from October 5th, 2016. He was in studio with me. He completed his undergraduate degree in neuroscience at Brown University in 2010. He completed his MD and PhD in 2016 at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. His work was focused on the discovery of compounds that create hydrogen peroxide selectivity in cancer cells. And his work progressed to a phase two clinical trials for pancreatic cancer, published over 200 papers, book chapters, and posters on the topic of hydrogen peroxide production and cancer metabolism. And using these insights from his research, he teamed up with his friend at MIT to start this company, Peroxyzen, the world's first plant-derived food-grade hydrogen peroxide company. I haven't talked to him in years, but he was fascinating. And he said that he had proven in a laboratory that hydrogen peroxide killed cancer. I don't know where that stands now, as far as the phase of the clinical trial and if it proceeded from there. But that's very interesting. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hydrogen peroxide kills cancer cells in pretty much the same way that it kills pathogens. Mm-hmm. And that is in the inside the cell environment where you find a pathogen or inside a cancer cell, there's two things that are very common to both of those situations. One is both the pathogens and the cancer cell selectively have high levels of iron. The iron, for whatever you want to think it, they feed on it. So they concentrate iron. And in the case of the cancer cell, the enzyme known as catalase is suppressed, and catalase is used to metabolize excess hydrogen peroxide. So in the cancer cell, you already have a microenvironment of iron and a lot of peroxide. And when you add a electron donor like vitamin C, because vitamin C has been known to kill cancer cells very readily too, it's because the vitamin C contributes an electron to the iron, which the iron contributes the electron to the hydrogen peroxide, and boom, the hydrogen peroxide breaks down into an incredible oxidizing agent known as hydroxyl radical, which rapidly oxidizes and destroys anything that it's next to. So as long as that mechanism continues to be fueled by enough electron donor and enough iron and enough hydrogen peroxide, you very readily and completely proceed that reaction, known as the Fenton reaction. It proceeds to completion and kills the cell.
Mm. Wow, it's fascinating. This is so fascinating. I'm loving having you on the show today, Dr. Levy.
And that's described in the book, too, for those who
like
a little more science.
Yeah, I love the book. I have the book in my hand right now, Rapid Virus Recovery, No Need to Live in Fear by Thomas E. Levy, MD, JD. I encourage I got my copy on, I think I got it from your website. Either that, you can get them on Amazon as well, but I like to support
individual. No more. Amazon just stopped carrying it about a year ago.
What a coinkydink.
At the same time, in the last year, almost 10 different books with different authors have come out with the same title, Rapid Virus Recovery, and Amazon is selling those. Mm. So they not only took the book away so that people couldn't get it on Amazon, they immediately flooded it with other books with a similar title so that people who just rely on Amazon, odds are they won't even realize that my book is gone and just end up getting another of these Johnny-come-lately copycat books that just came out of the woodwork. I suppose I should be flattered, you know.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
What do they say, you know, copying or is one of the greatest forms of flattery, but I just need to see people get the accurate information.
Well, you can get your book on your website, which is peakenergy.com, right? I was looking
That's
at the...
Correct.
Yes, here it is, peakenergy.com. Yes, all right, well, we're going to go for a quick break. So great. We're talking about surprising uses for hydrogen peroxide, the real science. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com. Back with more positivity pouring out your speakers. It's One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Dr. Thomas E. Levy. We are continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Dr. Levy is a board-certified cardiologist and bar-certified attorney. After practicing adult cardiology for 15 years, he began to research the enormous toxicity associated with much dental work, as well as the pronounced ability of properly administered vitamin C to neutralize this toxicity. He has now written 13 books, including Hidden Epidemic and most recently Rapid Virus Recovery, which you can find on his website, peakenergy.com, with several of these books addressing the wide-ranging properties of vitamin C in neutralizing all toxins and resolving most infections, as well as its vital role in the effective treatment of heart disease and cancer. Recently inducted into the Orthomolecular Medicine Hall of Fame, Dr. Levy continues to research the impact of orthomolecular application of vitamin C and antioxidants in general on chronic degenerative diseases. As I said, you can find all of his books at peakenergy.com. We're talking about the surprising uses for hydrogen peroxide in light of a recent lawsuit against CVS by some plaintiffs who claim that hydrogen peroxide is not a good way to treat minor cuts or abrasions anymore, in spite of we've been doing this for centuries. You know, during the break, Dr. Levy, I was thinking about this. that, you know, when you used to get a cut, or when, I mean, I still do it. So I pour hydrogen peroxide, and I don't know if this is true or not. You know, when it quits bubbling, that it's killed the bacteria at hand, at least at that point, right? And then maybe the next day or later on in the day, what I'm trying to get at is, once the bubbling stops, does that mean that the wound is healed and that the hydrogen peroxide has done its job?
Pretty much so, Bernadette. What happens is, if it's a superficial wound, then right, that's absolutely the case. You pour the mm-hmm. hydrogen peroxide on there, it bubbles. And what we said in the last section about hydrogen peroxide and pathogens and what we call the Fenton reaction, at the same time it's generating the hydroxyl radical to kill the pathogens, it's also generating water and oxygen. So what you're seeing bubbling up there is the oxygen being produced by the reaction that hydrogen peroxide is using to kill the pathogens. It's very, mm-hmm. very simple, very, very elegant. You know, another thing I've noticed, and this sort of is a propaganda that you see on TVs and movies and shows like that, is a lot of times you see individuals in a film with a open wound or something like that, and you'll see hydrogen peroxide put on, and they'll wince like it's horrible and painful.
Right.
It's not in the slightest bit painful. In
I
fact,
know.
It's cooling. And what they should do is they should make it clear that if you put alcohol on an open wound, it's going to hurt like crazy.
Yes.
It'll kill the pathogens, yes, but you'll be a little bit tortured in the process.
Yeah.
So no, hydrogen peroxide, in every sense of the word, is a perfect wound-treating agent. And once you start seeing good healing take place and you know that the pathogens have been knocked down or eliminated, then normal healing can proceed and you don't need hydrogen peroxide any further.
Mm-hmm. I put it in my water pick. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that? I decided, this is back like a month ago, long before I was thinking about this, because, you know, I recently had jaw surgery. We can talk about that a little bit later and how I treated myself. I never got on antibiotics, and I had pretty invasive jaw surgery. It was a root canal that had gone bad, and I had an infection in my jaw, deep in my jaw, Dr. Levy, and we used ozone therapy to kill the bacteria instead of taking antibiotics, and I'm doing really well. It's been about 35 days, but I put hydrogen peroxide in my water pick. I thought it was a sensible thing to do, to just have an extra thing to help keep my mouth super clean during the healing process.
Well, no, it's an excellent idea. In fact, that suggestion, as you say, is covered in some detail in the book, Rapid Virus Recovery.
Ah.
It's the best way to resolve persistent gum disease. But you got to remember, with gum disease, a lot of gum disease persists because the person's not taking enough vitamin C.
Mm-hmm,
vitamin
mm-hmm.
C, as it concentrates in the tissue, prevents inflammation. And chronic mm-hmm. gum disease is inflammation. So mm-hmm. if you ever biopsy the tissue of the gums where there's gum disease, you'll always find a severe deficiency to almost complete absence of vitamin C.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
you need the vitamin C to maintain the gum, and the water pick with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in it is very effective at knocking down and, in many cases, virtually eliminating the pathogen presence that utilizes the vitamin C,
mm-hmm.
and you can start to see resolution of the gums in people with even chronic gum disease very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I might add, with regard to your root canal, we don't have time to go fully into root canals, but just
yeah.
remember that the data shows that 100% of root canals are infected, and while the ozone was very good at knocking down the pathogen count, don't deceive yourself into thinking that you've rendered the tooth sterile and non-infected again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Keep an eye on it. Don't ignore any future symptomatology. And periodically, you might want to go back to your dentist to get the 3D cone beam examination to make mm-hmm. sure a little abscess is not forming at the end of the tooth, which
yeah.
is a very common occurrence.
Right. Yeah. They actually had to remove the tooth. I was horrified when I first got the news that that's what I needed to do. I'm Italian, and my father always prided our family.
Oh, excellent. I feel good for your long-term health now. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, good.
Yes, that's what was recommended.
I mean, nobody likes to lose a tooth.
Oh, my gosh. I was horrified.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to get breast cancer or heart disease or any of a number of other problems that is, well, that's the title of my book, Hidden Epidemic. Hidden Epidemic is, the subtitle is, nearly all heart disease and breast cancer is due to infected teeth, period. Okay?
Yeah.
And the book is well documented. Just it's not something that I just pulled out of thin air.
Right.
And it's very important. What could be more important for the world's health than identifying and stopping the factor that causes virtually all heart disease and causes virtually all breast cancer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. And we could talk for hours about this and go off in many different paths. But just what popped in my head talking about vitamin C, it is such a powerful antioxidant. So much so that during COVID, that's what China did. China started giving all their people vitamin C supplements long before we were ever, you know, and I don't think you ever heard it on mainstream media that that's what people should be doing, because they had another secret agenda, which was to, you know, push vaccines, which we find out now are not only not safe, they're not, that the efficacy is almost zero. And if you do have any efficacy from the COVID-19 shot, it's short-lived. The booster's the same thing, and I don't want to go off into the whole vaccine issue, but vitamin C is a powerful way to fight all viruses, right, Dr. Levy?
That's right. And very early on in the pandemic, in the Wuhan province of China, another province of China that produces vitamin C, and I might add that unfortunately, China far and away produces more vitamin C than anywhere else on the planet cumulatively.
Wow.
Very early on in the pandemic, one of the main vitamin C producing provinces of China sent, and I'm not making a mistake here, 50 tons of vitamin C powder to the Wuhan virus, to the Wuhan province.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they were doing it to fertilize the weeds or anything like that, or just for a general health measure. They knew how powerful that powder was in treating the population and in putting it, in dissolving it into IV applications as well. I tell you what, if they had sent 50 tons of vitamin C powder to any city or state in the United States, it would just sat in the warehouse until it degenerated and oxidized and became worthless.
And liposomal is the best form. Right now I'm going to give a couple of shout outs here, and they're not paying for this, but these are the two brands that I use Livon, and I use Dr. Mercola's liposomal vitamin C. I use both of those two products because the liposomal gets it into deep into the cell. Is that right, Dr. Levy? Is that how the liposomal process works?
That's right. The liposome is an extremely tiny, nano-sized particle that has every bit the same configuration as far as the wall that surrounds it as a cell in your body. Mm-hmm. And it was initially developed in the 1960s as an artificial cell so that researchers could do any of a number of different experiments using that as a model for an artificial cell. And as it turns out, a liposome, variations of a liposome, depending on size, extremely tiny to extremely large, are how the cells in the body intercommunicate. They develop inside the cytoplasm. They encapsulate certain materials, sometimes waste materials, sometimes hormones, who knows, and then gets released from the cell and communicates with other cells. So what I'm saying is, the mechanism of a liposome supplement like that is absolutely imitating true biology. Mm-hmm. So when you take a liposome supplement that's quality, it's not only almost completely absorbed, close to 100%, but once it gets inside the lymph and the blood, it starts depositing its contents into the cells. And this is the important part, without the consumption of energy. Everything about good health is getting energy substances where you need it and consuming as little energy as possible and getting them there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 5 grams of liposomal vitamin C circulating in your blood, and you give the person 5 grams of vitamin C unencapsulated intravenously, that vitamin C intravenously is going to consume energy to get inside the cells, mm-hmm. whereas the liposome is not going to consume energy. And this is why we've just seen, I've seen, and many of my colleagues have seen, extraordinary clinical properties that pretty much rival the potency and effect of intravenous vitamin C, because usually you give a much larger dose mm-hmm. of vitamin C intravenously. And I've seen things happen with 5 grams of liposome encapsulated vitamin C orally that rival much higher doses of vitamin C intravenously. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not putting down intravenous. All the different forms of vitamin C are good. And if you're sick or have a problem, you're well served to use and have administered to you as many different forms of vitamin C as possible, mm-hmm. because they all have their different nuances as to how they impact the body, where they get absorbed, such as powder, such as IV, such as liposomal. All these things have different impact depending on how the person is taking them. So yeah. Never fail to avail yourself, if you're sick and not getting better quite rapidly, to use as many different forms of vitamin C as possible mm-hmm. in optimal doses.
Good advice. I'm going to get a break out of the way right now because we're getting ready to dig deep into this hydrogen peroxide. When we come back, more coming up with Dr. Thomas E. Levy. We're talking about the surprising uses for hydrogen peroxide. When we get back, stay tuned. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Follow us on social media
at One Life Radio.
It's time to nourish your mind and your body at the Weston A. Price Foundation Wise Traditions Conference, October 21st through the 23rd in Knoxville, Tennessee. The Weston A. Price Foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to our diets. At the conference, you'll taste delicious and nutritious foods and hear all the healing wisdom of over 30 impressive speakers, including Dr. Tom Cowan, Tommy John, Dr. Kelly Brogan, Catherine Austin Fitz, and many others. Go to wisetraditions.org to register for the conference that nourishes you in every way. That's wisetraditions.org. I'll see you there.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Contagiously positive. One Life Radio is back.
Thursday night football tonight, you guys. Hey, Jerry. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Dr. Thomas E. Levy. We are continuing our live broadcast here from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking about surprising uses for hydrogen peroxide. We went down a little bit of a different path for a moment or two, talking about vitamin C. And during the break, Dr. Levy, I pulled this article from March 3rd, 2020, and it's from Orthomolecular Medicine News Service that the Shanghai government officially recommends. I was making reference to this. I actually found it. Shanghai government officially recommends vitamin C for COVID-19. It was written by Dr. Andrew W. Sell, and it was goes on to say that Richard Z. Chang, MD, PhD, a Chinese-American specialist physician, has been working closely with medical and governmental authorities throughout China. He has been instrumental in facilitating at least 3 Chinese clinical IV vitamin C studies now underway. And this is from 2020. Dr. Chang is presently in Shanghai, continuing his efforts to encourage still more Chinese hospitals to implement vitamin C therapy, incorporating high oral doses as well as vitamin C by IV. And so there you go. But that didn't happen here in America. Unfortunately, we didn't take the same measures that they did in China. And I just wanted to put that out there because I found it during the break. Any comments?
Well, yeah, Dr. Chang is a colleague, and he actually brought me over to China about 5 years ago and set up some lectures with different hospitals and medical institutions. And I really had no idea what to expect, quite honestly, but at the time I was received very well. But what I was really impressed by is that the Chinese have been pro vitamin C for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the medical literature, nearly most, and I won't say nearly all, most of the significant articles that look at multi-gram dosing of vitamin C, because there's a lot of articles that use ridiculously small amounts of vitamin C, but a large number of the articles that use multi-gram vitamin C doses, 10, 15, 20, 50 grams, come out of China. And they show incredibly good results with burns, with acute respiratory distress syndrome, which is, of course, one of the problems that pretty much occurs most of the time when you have a COVID infection that ends up in respiratory insufficiency and death. That's a respiratory distress syndrome. So, yes, the Chinese have been on top of this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually interesting, Bernadette, because not only does the United States or has the United States just so collectively ignored vitamin C for 80 years and tried to undermine it, I think they made a major mistake in not suppressing it harder for the pandemic, because very early in the pandemic, a chain of hospitals, and I don't know why, a chain of hospitals in New York, 20 or more, started implementing limited dosing, but still good dosing of vitamin mm-hmm. C for COVID and its complications, and had great results.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of that article, Dr. Saul, will tell you that very early on in the pandemic, three things disappeared off the shelves immediately in Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
One was toilet tissue. We know all about that.
Yeah.
And the other was hydrogen peroxide, and the other was vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't find a bottle of vitamin C, or you couldn't find a bottle of hydrogen peroxide to save your life. And it stayed that way for months before things started coming in. So one of the things that the pandemic did inadvertently, I believe, was educating and showing the public that vitamin C was very important to prevent infection and to resolve infection. Because if you recall, early on in February, March of 2020, lots of people getting COVID, problem breathing. Of course, they went into the hospital, which was their death sentence, because they immediately got on a respirator and never got off again.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, there was more and more and more minimally symptomatic COVID, not requiring hospitalization. And it's my conviction and opinion is because 6 months to a year down the road, there was a very large number of people, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, that started supplementing vitamin C and vitamin D and mm-hmm. zinc and quercetin, something that helps put zinc inside the cell. All of these things, I believe, were the primary reason why COVID became a minimal concern for mortality.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, too, to just delve a little bit further, we now have an entire country by the name of Denmark. And what has Denmark just done? Denmark has not discouraged but banned COVID vaccine if you're under age 50.
Mm.
So it doesn't take much reading between the lines to figure out why they would have done something like that.
Right. Right. Oh, my gosh. There's so much I want to talk about with you. You know, one of the questions that we'll go back to hydrogen peroxide here for a minute, because more studies are coming out using hydrogen peroxide to treat the SARS-CoV-2, which we talked about on the show before, and which, by the way, Dr. Andrew Saul has been on the show before to talk about vitamin C in the last 2 years as well. But to go back to what I was saying, we've talked about this before on the show, but have there been any new studies regarding the use of hydrogen peroxide for COVID? And do you think it will become widely accepted a treatment for COVID, for all COVID strains moving forward?
Well, I think it's made a big impression because of what I just told you earlier about uh-huh. Walmart and the selling of hydrogen peroxide. Mm-hmm. I mean, businesses and corporations in the United States, they're interested in profit, okay? And I'm not putting them down. So why would Walmart sell or start featuring 15-fold, you know, 1,500% more hydrogen peroxide on their shelves than they mm-hmm. ever did before?
Mm-hmm.
That tells me public awareness, and in some cases medical awareness, is starting to appreciate what hydrogen peroxide can do. So
mm-hmm.
I think things are picking up. And I think it's we're seeing more and more of this because the cat's out the bag. Okay, yep. The FDA, yep. These other three-letter government agencies. I don't want to poke the bear in the eye, but they missed a major opportunity to suppress vitamin C. But unfortunately, vitamin C started doing its thing mm-hmm. before they realized what happened.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of studies on hydrogen peroxide, and again at the same place, and you can give your readers the address if you like for the orthomolecular.org site where you read those orthomolecular medicine news service articles. A couple have come out from Ghana, and two of the doctors there that are on the orthomolecular board of the news service did an extended study over a year or two at either one or more than one of their COVID hospitals or hospitals treating a lot of COVID. And they had a group, a very large group, roughly 1,000 healthcare workers, gargle with 3% hydrogen peroxide every day and sniff a little bit inside their nose.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of a year or so, I don't remember the exact period of time, that group working in COVID hospital had no cases of COVID, whereas a comparable group that didn't do this, roughly 30% of them got COVID. So hydrogen peroxide is clearly useful in preventing an infection, which makes sense. You know,
yeah.
Before you get a fourfold infection, the colonization has to be a low titer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the peroxide knocks that out as well. But I don't know if the listeners recall, but I published an article a year earlier that showed that hydrogen peroxide is a monotherapy. With a friend of mine in Columbia, South America, she took her nebulizer and her hydrogen peroxide and cured 20 cases of advanced COVID, all of them mm-hmm. with severe shortness of breath in 5 days with just the peroxide nebulization. Now, let me quickly add, I'm not in any way recommending peroxide nebulization as a monotherapy. It's just mm-hmm. that this was the only thing available
right.
to these poor people in these poor barrios in Colombia. I mean, if you get any problems, absolutely do the peroxide nebulization, but take your vitamin C, take your ivermectin, take your hydroxychloroquine, do all of those good things, as many as you can access, because there's no overdoing it in trying to overcome an infection as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. And there's some good YouTube videos, unless they've removed them, on how to properly do it with the nebulizer, right? And
the nebulization is a little used but very old technique.
Yes.
And so it is used a lot for asthma with kids. You'll see tons of videos on how to do nebulization. It doesn't matter whether you put hydrogen peroxide in there or some other anti-asthmatic agent. The process is the same. So, no, it's not a complicated thing. It's mm-hmm. you have an air pump, a line into a little chamber, and you put the liquid in the chamber, turn on the air pump, and it has a way that it turns the liquid into a fine mist, and then you inhale that through a mask. So it's a very simple technique.
Mm-hmm. And to locate an orthomolecular physician near you, I'm reading this from that piece that I pulled about Shanghai, at orthomolecular.org. Is that the correct, still the correct web address, Dr. Levy, orthomolecular.org?
Right. And when you go on the page where it talks yeah. about orthomolecular mm-hmm. medicine news releases, you'll see a treasure trove of articles on vitamin C, peroxide, and other orthomolecular ways using natural agents of dealing with disease and infection.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go for a quick break. More coming up with Dr. Thomas E. Levy. We're talking about surprising uses for hydrogen peroxide. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com. We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Jerry Caldwell and Dr. Thomas E. Levy. We are continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. That is one of my all-time favorite dance songs right there, Jerry. It's so good to be here. It really is. We're going to continue this. So much more I want to talk about with you, Dr. Levy. We only have a couple more minutes, and so I'd like to talk about the standard over-the-counter hydrogen peroxide is 3%, but there are others on Amazon like 6%, 8%, 12%, and even 30%. What do the percentages mean, and is the higher percentage always better?
No. The higher percentage can be very toxic. But the 3% or less shows no toxicity at all, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they make 90% plus hydrogen peroxide that's, believe it or not, used as rocket fuel. So, no, there's a great deal of significance to the concentration.
Okay.
And I have no recommendation that you ever go above 3%.
Okay.
And a lot of people, they're a little irritated by 3%, so that you can dilute it down to 2%, 1%, 0.5%, whatever's easily tolerated. But many people do tolerate the 3% well and feel comfortable while they nebulize. And that's the bottom line, is when I say tolerate, I mean you can breathe easily and comfortable. You really shouldn't nebulize anything or any concentration of anything that makes it at all difficult to breathe. Then we're getting into areas that we don't want to get. So it should be always easily tolerated and, for the most part, a desirable, comfortable, relaxing nebulization.
Mm-hmm. And what is food grade hydrogen peroxide, and when should we use that? You know, I used to use the hydrogen peroxide, the one that I told you about, Peroxyzen, Gaurav Chakrabarty, who came up with the plant-based hydrogen peroxide. I don't even know if that's available on the market for mainstream. It was produced mainly for the flotation sensory deprivation business. But what is food grade hydrogen peroxide? What's the difference?
Food grade hydrogen peroxide is a peroxide that, for the most part, or completely devoid and has no stabilizers in it. Mm-hmm. Stabilizers are put into the over-the-counter peroxide so that it breaks down more slowly and has a longer shelf life. As far as toxicity, it's my opinion, let me emphasize opinion, that there's no significant toxicity when you nebulize 3% over-the-counter hydrogen peroxide. But I'm not going to tell you there's zero level of toxic substances in there, that the less you expose yourself to, the better. Mm-hmm. I just am saying, if you have an infection, for goodness sakes, don't deprive yourself of the over-the-counter 3% if you're having a difficult time finding a food grade. I mean, the food grade is a lot more expensive. And one of the big benefits of the 3% over-the-counter is it's dirt cheap. So all these things have to be balancing factors.
Yeah. Well, there's the music. Gosh, we blew through this hour. Always a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show, Dr. Levy. Thank you so much for jumping on again with us today. It was our pleasure.
Okay, my pleasure too. Thank you
for
everything. Take care.
Thank you. I encourage everyone to go to peakenergy.com and check out Dr. Levy and all of his books. It will behoove you, as it has me. I have to wrap this up, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.